I want to talk to you for the next few minutes. We're going to start really a mini series on the book of Philippians. Today's topic is going to be joy no matter what. Everybody say joy,
joy.
No matter what.
No matter what.
So this is our year of manifested faith. The Lord says the things that we have been believing for privately, he's going to make visible publicly. He said that joy was going to be our strength and increase was going to be our portion, and that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, we are to boldly declare, I believe God. And so since, you know, part of the word is that joy is to be our strength, I wanted to talk to you about joy. And what better book than the book of Philippians, which is actually funny because the Apostle Paul is writing this book to the church of Philippi. Philippians is four chapters, so it's a really short book. Actually, it's considered a letter. Amen. And we just know it as a book because when King James translated it, he broke it down so we could just read it in chapters and verse. But it was just a letter that Paul was writing. But Paul was in prison, falsely accused. And watch this. Even though he is in prison, falsely accused, he is writing letters to, you know, to those in the gospel under him, encouraging them. Now, that's pretty good. Right? Like Paul is writing to them to thank them for their financial support. He is writing to encourage them in unity because there were some ladies going back and forth at one another in the church. He was writing them to encourage joy in difficult situations. And so the main theme of the entire book of Philippians is joy in Christ. And so we're going to go down a couple different chapters over the next few weeks, and I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. Now, Philippians 4 and 4, one thing Paul says is rejoice in the Lord. How often, class?
Always.
He says rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say
rejoice.
Yeah, so he says this is not based on situations or circumstances, because Paul is demonstrating that joy can exist even in the midst of him being in prison. And so Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi, and in this short letter, you see the word joy or rejoice 16 times. And so it really pushes the fact that Nehemiah 8 and 10 teaches us that the joy of the Lord really is our strength, that our joy is not based on circumstances. Can I get up? Yeah, our joy is not based on circumstances, but our joy is based on Christ. So it's spiritual and not circumstantial. I want you to catch that. So say, my joy is spiritual,
my joy is spiritual.
And not circumstantial.
Not circumstantial.
You got it. And you have to, you know, and it takes a discipline to get there. Let's just be honest. Because, you know, in the natural, let's be honest, it can be easy to get upset about stuff. Talk back to me when I'm preaching right. I know you say sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, on your way to heaven and glad about it. But there are some things that in a moment can get you upset. So it takes a spiritual discipline for me not to allow these things to get upset. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I think that is something that we have to work on all the time. I don't think it's just something that we master and we move on. No, because you know, the way the devil is, even if you master it in that area, he's going to bring something else around. So it takes this discipline, this spiritual discipline to get there, to not get upset at the person in front of you at the stop sign or the stoplight because the light has turned green and they're still sitting there. You got it. You were just happy. You got it. You were just smiling, listening to your favorite tune, and they're not going, right? And you're like, okay, I'm going to give them a few seconds. They're still not going. And then they're like, they probably texting. They know you ain't supposed to text and drive. You know, just all kind of things. You got it, you know, or maybe you're hungry, you got it, and you go to Bojangles, and you get in line at Bojangles, and you smell the chicken when you pull up, you know, and you order, you get to the line, and they say, we need you to pull over to the side. You're like, pull up, I smell the chicken, y'all ain't got the chicken ready? And then you're like, okay, no problem, I'll pull over. You know, do you notice that when you're waiting on things, especially like fresh fried chicken, minutes matter? You got it. Like, it's 3 minutes is a long time to wait when you're hungry, right? But what happens, you know, and then what'll really get you is if you smell good, if everything smells good, it's a long line. So in your mind, the chicken should be fresh. You know what really gets you? When you get the box of chicken and there must have been a few old pieces somewhere and they ended up in your box. Everybody repeat after me. Say, stop letting
little things
steal your joy. That's a good place to give the Lord a big praise right there. All right, how many points do I have for you today?
Three.
You already know, Pastor's got three simple points that I believe are going to bless you, amen? And so point number one is your circumstances are not the end of your story. Your circumstances are not the end of your story. I mean, think about it. Paul was in prison. He was falsely accused. He is awaiting trial. But even when you read the book of Philippians, and I would like you to do that, you know, sometime this week, because it's a small book, so you can read the whole thing in a quick setting. But he's in prison, falsely accused, awaiting trial. And yet, when you read the book, you see how God is still working. And it shows us that even when we go through tough times, that God is still at work in our lives. And that is why we have to keep our joy. Because when I'm in joy, I'm in faith. When I'm in faith, I'm in anticipation and expectation of God's very best in my life. And so I cannot allow the little things or really anything to steal my joy. Because sometimes it's not a little thing, it's a big thing. And sometimes it's not right and it's not fair, but I still can't let it steal my joy. Does that make sense? Go with me to Philippians, the first chapter. I'm going to read verses 12 through 14. I'm going to kind of just go a little bit through chapter 1 today. Are y'all already getting blessed?
Yes.
He says, now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. He says, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. I haven't done anything wrong, and people are starting to realize this. They're starting to realize I am a man of God. Like, I haven't done anything wrong. He says, and because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord. Sometimes we need somebody to set an example for us. He says, and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. So now Paul is saying, hey, I know the situation doesn't look bad. He says, but you got to see that the gospel is actually advancing. And in our lives, a lot of times, people often think this situation is ruining everything. You got this. You know, everything was good until she said that, or everything is good until I saw that poster. Everything is good until no. And you got to understand that no matter the situation, God often uses the very things that we think are setbacks to actually push forward His purpose in our lives. And that's what God really wants to do. He wants to push forward His purpose in our lives. And I believe that every time He wants to push forward His purpose in our lives, it can be something different.
Yes.
You got it? Sometimes pushing forward His purpose in our lives is us being a blessing to someone, while sometimes Him pushing forward His purpose in our lives is us stopping, taking a look at ourselves and saying, oh, I need to do this differently, or I can be better at that. You understand? I'm real big on that for my life, because I want to make sure that I'm always the best that I can be to everybody around me. And so every day I'm trying to make adjustments. I will ask myself, you know, even though I had the right intention, I hope someone didn't take that the right way. I try my best, because I understand, you know, we live in a real sensitive culture, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. It's just the truth. And so I've really learned to say please and to say thank you. Not that I never said please and say thank you, you know, but just doing things where people understand their value, because at the end of the day, it is the enemy that works overtime to make you think you have no value when you really actually have a lot of value in Christ. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so anyways, we have to keep pushing forward regardless of what's going on. Now, let's leave Philippians for a moment. Let's just think about Joseph. I mean, Joseph was betrayed. You got it? So he experienced a lot in his life, right? Betrayal, slavery, prison, a whole bunch of stuff, you know, but through that entire time, you got it, God was still working things out for his good. And he ends up going from the pit to the palace, all right? You know, he begins to become second in charge in the entire kingdom of Egypt. Pharaoh says, because you know what's going on, you're going to run everything, right? And so even though his brothers meant him harm, you know, Genesis 50 and 20, I'll give you the backdrop. Jacob dies, right? And so now that Jacob, the father, is gone, I think his brothers are like, okay, he's going to get us now. You got it. He let us go because daddy was around. You got it. And, you know, daddy want all the brothers and sisters to be okay. But now that daddy's gone, you know, Jacob is going to get us. But Jacob brings it up in Genesis 50 and 20. Says, no, I'm not about to bring any revenge on you because you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. And so you may not understand what God is doing right now, but that doesn't mean that God is not working in your life. And you've got to understand that anything that the enemy tries to do or throw a monkey wrench in your life or try to make you feel like you're losing your value or to try to bring shame on your life or just no matter what it is, anytime the enemy means it for bad, if you'll stay in faith and keep your joy, God will bring that thing around for good in your life. You got it. Romans 8 and 28. I love this verse because it helps me. Why does it help me? Because there's different times in life when I did something like, well, should I went that way or should I went that way? You got it. Could have went either way. Neither way would have been a bad way, you know, and this happened and that happened. I remember my kids were going through some things, you know, at a school in time and they were being treated very badly. And, you know, for me to say that, it's just true. I don't make up stuff. I don't pull the race card. I'm just not like that. I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? But they're being treated very badly, and so then I've got to take them out of there, you know, put them in another school, and then, you know, kids don't understand totally everything. You're trying to navigate things, so you're trying to keep them safe. You're trying to pray. You're trying to do all things, and then you're like, well, Lord, did I do the right thing? Oh, you could keep it up. Did I do the right thing? And those kind of things. And the Holy Spirit one day comforted me with, you know, Romans 8 and 28. It says, and we what? He says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called, who are called according to his purpose. And so I had to have faith that as long as my heart is always right toward God, that no matter what decision I made, you got it, that God was going to allow everything to work out for, you know, our good. Now, you know, months later, you know, the kids were doing great. Everything was going good. Jay was on the basketball team. He ended up becoming a starter, you know, in his senior year. He started the whole time. So it worked out great. But, rewind. You got it. I wasn't quite sure, but it was the Lord that reminded me, don't lose your joy. Don't get all worked up about it. I work everything out for your good. Amen. And in your life, you've got to know that God works out everything for your good. You need to have faith. You need to have what?
Faith.
That everything is going to work out. That's a good place to give the Lord a big hand praise right there. It's going to work out. You got it. It might not look like it's going to work out, but it's going to work out, all right? Because God, you know, God is working even when we're sleeping. He never slumbers, neither does he sleep, all right? So point number one, we said, was your circumstances are not the end of your story. All right, here we go. Everybody say number two.
Number two,
your perspective determines your joy. Your perspective determines your joy. You know, Philippians, we're going to pick up we're going to continue in chapter 1, and we're going to pick up at verse 15 because we left off at verse 14. And remember, Paul's in chains. And remember, he says, listen, even though I'm in chains, he says, some of the other brothers and sisters are actually being strengthened. And now they're boldly proclaiming Christ, even though I'm in chains. Now, watch what he says in verse 15, because he's got to tell the whole story. How many of you always got to tell the whole story? Right? He says, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. So you got to understand, sometimes people say, all this competition in church, and that's one thing Without Limits does not have. We do not compete against anybody. We're marching to the beat of our own drum. We're just trying to be better than we were yesterday, and we're praying for every other church that has been called by God. Why do you say that's been called by God? Because there's a lot that have not been called by God, and when you haven't been called by God, you mess up people's lives. Does that make sense? I don't mean to be disrespectful when I say that, but if you have not been called by God and you go out there, you know, and you self-proclaim yourself to be a bishop or an apostle or a pastor or whatever, you know, and people start following you, but you were never called by God, watch this, there's really nothing to follow. Does that make sense? And so, but you know, our church is never been in competition, but a lot of churches are in competition. A lot of Christians are in competition, but let me just help you. That's been happening way back in Bible days. You know, because it's funny, you know, Pastor Pat, they'd be like, man, this Jesus sure enough coming because these folks competing. They always been competing. You got it? But thank God, you know, for mature saints like the Apostle Paul that says, hey, we don't do that. So he says, it's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. He says, but others out of goodwill. So he said, you got a little bit of both. He said, the latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. Verse 17, he says, but the former, those who do it out of envy, they preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains, make it a little worse for me, right? But what does Paul say in verse 18? He says, but what does it matter? He says, the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, that Christ is preached. And because this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Paul had his mind made up that he was going to stay in joy no matter what. He says, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what others are doing, he says, the gospel is being preached. Yes, some preach it to my detriment. Some preach it to because they love me. He said, but let's keep the main thing that Christ is being preached. And in our lives, we have to learn how to keep the main thing, the main thing. So Paul's priority wasn't comfort. Paul's priority was Christ being preached. And so we've got to make sure that whatever God has called us to and called us to live, that that is our priority. If our greatest priority is comfort, watch this, then circumstances will always steal our joy. But if our greatest priority is Christ, then nothing can steal our joy. Right? I'm going to say it again. If our greatest priority is comfort, then circumstances will steal our joy. And if you live like that, all the enemy has to do is make this happen and make this happen and make this happen. And you're always mad. You're always set, upset. You're always frustrated. You're always aggravated. You know, those kind of things. But when the enemy realizes that Christ is their priority, then nothing steals your joy. So yes, I still wish that wouldn't happen, but I'm not going to let it steal my joy. So joy is our strength. So somebody say joy. Is my strength. All right, now let's go to Hebrews 12. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Y'all get anything out of this?
Yes.
All right, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. He says, Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance or patience the race that is set before us, all right? And so he's teaching us how we should do this thing. And he says, looking unto who, class?
Jesus.
That was pretty good, but let's try it again. Looking unto who, class?
Jesus.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so he says, listen, we're entangled with this greater cloud of witnesses. He said, because of all those who have gone before us in victory, he said, it gives us the ability to lay aside all these weights and sin. Sometimes it's not sin, sometimes it's weight. Because sometimes we'll say, well, Lord, I'm not doing anything wrong. Yeah, but you're connected to that person that keeps weighing you down and weighing you down and weighing you down. And do you really need, it's okay. You got, yeah, there's a difference between relationship and fellowship. Relationship is we have a working relationship. I can't do anything about that because I'm not about to leave my good job. You understand what I'm saying? So you act crazy. I can't do anything about that. I'm going to keep my attitude. But fellowship is I invite you over to the house to watch the Cowboys. Praise the Lord. Oh, now y'all don't want to come to the house to watch the cow. Okay, stay at the house then. Stay at the house. All right. And so, but there's a difference, right? And so now if I get entangled in a bad relationship where that person's priority isn't Christ, and that person is always doing conniving stuff and always, you know, just doing things that I would never do, then it becomes a weight in my life.
Yeah.
Is that, and I won't speak up, it becomes a weight in my life. So it's not always just sin, it's just wait. And he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience. Quit being so hard on yourself all the time. Run with patience. Give yourself a little grace. Run with patience. God knows you're not perfect. Run with patience. You're doing a lot better than you think you are. Run with patience. Am I talking to anybody in this room?
Yes.
Run with patience. Gosh, run with patience. And then verse 2 is the prime part, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I love this about Jesus. It was the joy that was set before him. You got it? Jesus went through agony. He went through pain. He went through all the stripes. He went through everything, right? But the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of the Father. But I believe when Jesus was on that cross, the reason he stayed on that cross is for the joy that was set before him. What is going to happen on the other side of me making this sacrifice? That all humanity now will be able to have a relationship with the Father. That everyone will now, be able to make it into heaven. That eternal life is now made for us. For it is by grace we are saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so Jesus went through what he had to went through. So Jesus conquered for you and I. And because we didn't go through what he had to go through, it made us more than conquerors. Does that make sense? So the writer says we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. So in the midst of agony and pain, Jesus kept the right perspective. And in life, we got to learn how to keep the right perspective, all right? Now, I want y'all to be real honest with me, okay? I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Are y'all ready? You got it. How many ever get mad? Okay, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. We got an honest church. So it doesn't, you can put your hands down. Some of y'all still, okay? I believe I'll testify while I have a chance. All right. And so what happens is it doesn't mean, you're right on time, Court. I got to get out of this. All right. So it doesn't mean that I'll never get upset. It doesn't mean because emotions is part of my makeup and who I am. But what it means is the moment I get mad, you got it, or the moment I get frustrated, or the moment I get angry about something, because the Bible says you can get angry, but don't sin. He also says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So now the moment something gets me upset, I got a choice to make. How am I going to respond to whatever it is that just got me mad? So because you got mad don't make you a bad person. Because you got angry, doesn't it just makes you human? But how am I going to respond? You understand? Someone says something to you, you got it in public, in the grocery line. You understand? You minding your business, talking to somebody else, and you and someone else kind of maybe even had a little disagreement. But y'all working it out. Now somebody two carts behind you, says something to you. Boy, that caused your pressure to go up. There ain't no faith to that statement whatsoever. But that's what people say. You got it. And so what happens is you look at that person and how are you going to respond to that person? Learn to take a deep breath. Count backwards from 10, 9, 8. Seven. You understand what I'm saying? Breathe in and breathe out, right? And make the choice that I'm not going to allow anyone or anything to steal my joy. You got it. That I'm not going to let the next 10 minutes or the next 10 hours cause me to be upset over something that doesn't mean much of anything. Am I helping anybody in this room? Amen. All right. So number one, we said your circumstances are not the end of the story. Number two, we said your perspective determines your joy. And my last and my final point, number three, let's get out of here, Maestro. A Christ-centered life creates unshakable joy. A Christ-centered life creates unshakable joy. Paul says in Philippians, he says, verse 21, he says, for me to live is Christ. He says, but to die, that's gain. So Paul's perspective was eternal. He realized that I'm just passing through. He basically said, if I live, I serve Christ. But if I die, I go to Christ, so I can't lose either way. And so either way, you and I win. See, that type of perspective produces unshakable joy in our lives. That's why Paul says, what does it matter? And I don't know about you, let me just help you. But sometimes when I get upset, the first thing I have to ask myself is, does it really matter? That's the first thing I have to do. Because we're human, we're gonna get upset. But the first thing I ask, and sometimes I answer myself and I say, no, it doesn't matter, but I'm still mad. And I feel like, I don't know if this is really the Holy Spirit, but I feel like the Holy Spirit's like, well, how's that working out for you? You understand? It's not working out good at all. And so joy is not determined by what's happening around you, but joy is determined by who's living on the inside of you. And that is why everyone in this room and online, you need to make sure that you belong to Jesus. Romans 10 and 9 says, if we'll just confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying all over the building. Romans 10 and 9 says, if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you have to believe that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you. You can't just say, well, he died for grandmama and he died for mama, but he died for you. To the degree that all you've got to do is make a decision that you are going to repent of your sins and confess him as the Lord of your life. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. God's not mad at you. God's not angry with you. God's not upset with you. And don't listen to people who talk like that. Maybe you're in the room or online and you're just a Christian. You need to repent. This same prayer will work for you. So we're going to pray this prayer as a family together. I want everyone in the room, and if you're watching online, I want you to repeat this prayer. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you. A holy God, I know Jesus died, shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil word. Tell him you have nothing to do with me and I have nothing to do with you. Now, boldly declare to say, Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord and I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building. Are you glad you came to church at 9 o'clock in the morning? Amen.